Well, one of the great things about Southern Baptist life is the fact that we freely associate together with an association of churches. There are 28 churches, I think that's right, 28 churches in Laclede County that work together for the purpose and the glory of God. And one of the things that the Bible says, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I believe we have a director of missions who takes that mandate seriously. He is a very missional man, and Brother Stephen has been instrumental in helping us to partner and do good work in our Judea and in our Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so basically tonight, as a church family, we wanted to come together and we wanted to report on two trips that were taken this summer. And earlier in July, we had a team of four people who took a trip to Chiapas, Mexico, that I mentioned at the outset of my remarks. And my wife was on that trip, Gina. It was her first trip internationally. And so we're excited about how God is working in our lives personally. And so I'm going to have Stephen come up with the team in just a moment, and they're all going to share as well. And let me just kind of introduce the team members tonight before I call them up. Stephen Strauss was the leader of the team, and Joseph Miller went on the trip. Joseph, you kind of raise your hand and show them who you are. Joseph is the worship pastor at Beulah Baptist Church outside Richland. And Ken McCune went on the trip. There's Ken. And Ken is with our Missouri Baptist Convention. And Ken, can you tell us what your title is? What? Well, I can. Church planting catalyst to the nations. I like that. Yeah. Ken's wife, Sherry, is with him tonight. And then they have two friends from Jefferson City. And then, of course, Gina was on that trip. And there's one young lady, Caitlin, who was our summer missionary, was not able to make it tonight. So she won't be here with us. And then I'll be sharing a little bit at the end of the service tonight about the East St. Louis trip. But to kind of set the tone for the night, let me just share a verse of Scripture that I think will really fit what we're going to talk about tonight. And it's in Romans chapter 10. Listen to what God's Word says in verse 14. It says, "But how can they call on Him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things." Then in verse 17, Paul goes on to say, "So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." So that's our mandate. And on that note, Stephen, I'll have you come on forward and we'll begin our time again talking about Chiapas, Mexico, and the opportunity for ministry there. Thank you, brother. You bet.
Well, good evening. I'm going to go ahead and get started as the team is coming up. We are definitely an eclectic group. You can interpret that however you want. I was the serious one in the group. You can imagine that. But why are you all back there? It was a blessing about 3 weeks ago or so to return to Chiapas, Mexico, to a place that became very, very dear to my heart. When I was director of missions in Lawrence County, we began a partnership there. And Pastor David, before he was your pastor, went with us from Swedberg, and we were ministering there. Chiapas has always been on my heart. This was my 18th international mission trip. And Lord's blessed me with many opportunities, and my heart is in Chiapas. And it is always just such a dear blessing. And I love missions. I love ministry and the part of that. It's great to have a dear friend, Roxy, and her husband, Antonio, here. She says there's one flag missing from the sanctuary, and that's El Salvador. And I said, we'll add it next year, right? I met Roxy when I was in mission in El Salvador, doing a pastor's workshop, and she said she enjoyed it because she got to tell preachers how to preach. She was my interpreter. She was my interpreter for a pastor's workshop, and so she attends church with Ken. Chiapas is the southernmost state in Mexico. It is the boot hill of the country, and I began a partnership there about 6 years ago now, a few years in between, that I hadn't, did not have opportunity to go. It was on my heart. I approached Pastor David and the rest of our associational committee to just kind of get a blessing to go and do an exploratory trip for the association. And so went to Chiapas. In Chiapas, we ministered in the city called Integral, and we'll talk about that a little bit as we go. But you'll see the country, do not think the more northern arid parts of Mexico. You go down to the southernmost part. Mr. Antonio's home is Oaxaca, and he's right next to Chiapas in the state there. Very mountainous. If you've ever been to Central America area, southern Mexico, much has that Chiapas feel, that El Salvadoran feel, right? So very much so that way. We arrived in the capital city. After going through Mexico City, we arrived in the capital city of Tuxtla Gutierrez, and we're met there by our team. And it was, for me, it was a dear, dear, sweet reunion to see some dear people as we arrived. The city we stayed in is the city called Cintalapa. So we flew into Tuxtla, the capital. Cintalapa is the city we stay in. And then we travel to the little community called Integral, and there in Chiapas, Mexico. So when you hear Chiapas, think state. And Integral is the town. When we arrived at the church, this sign was there waiting for us and welcoming us. Okay. I'm going to let the team then, or we've talked about this, the team's going to go ahead and begin sharing some of their thoughts with the remaining slides, and we will try to stay very focused for you. We want to introduce you to Pastor Javier Perez, his wife, Tony, and their daughter, Jacobed, and as you begin to hear those stories.
My voice is about gone, so I'm not going to talk very long, but I was just so thrilled to have a chance to meet Pastor Javier and Tony, because I have heard David speak of them so much, and I just feel blessed that I was able to be a part of this. This is the Baptist temple of, Baptist Christian Temple of the Lord, and that is the front of the church. And you saw a picture of Cintalapa, and in a little bit you'll see a picture of this. I called it more of a village, you'll see a picture of the roads and things as we come into it, but that's when we arrived with them. This is right out in front of the church itself, and the houses are very, very simple, concrete blocks. They have no running water. They collect their water with rain barrels, and there is some electricity, and their homes are just very simple. We sat in lawn chairs, and it was just delightful. It was just awesome. I feel like I connected with Tony very much, Pastor Javier's wife, when I left. It was like both of us couldn't let go of each other. She promised to pray for me, and I promised to pray for her, and of course we'll pray for others, and they will too. But there was just an understanding, and she is truly his partner. And that's what I sensed very much from the beginning, as they've been called to this ministry. It's not just about Pastor Javier. They are a team. And she totally is fulfilling the role of a pastor's wife. This picture is panoramic, and we did that because we wanted you to see kind of the grounds, as you might say, of the church. The building itself is there behind us where we're standing. And then off to the side, and you'll see future pictures of close-ups of this area. But there's kind of like three sections and a long table. And then behind the tree is where they would cook and prepare our meals and such as that. But as we've talked, we, you know, only want to follow the Lord's guidance. But if he does orchestrate and provide a way for us to go back and do ministry with them, it's a perfect area where you can hold Bible school. The way that is divided into sections, you can also do perfectly a medical clinic. You can also do a dental clinic, and you'd have an area where you could share the gospel while people waited. It was just amazing the way that it's just set up. And as a matter of fact, the trip that David accompanied Stephen on, it was that type of trip. That's what he participated on in 2010 when Pastor Javier was in a different area, Rosendo Salas. And so now he has moved and he is in Integral. These are three of the most wonderful ladies. They are Mira, Myra, and Josefa. And they were faithful at cooking and preparing all of the meals. And those smiles, let me tell you, they wore them all the time. When people come back and tell you that these people have joy in their hearts, they do. I'm telling you, they may just have the minor, not even necessities, but they have the joy of the Lord in their hearts, and it is shown throughout their daily walk. That black barrel there, that is one of the rain barrels where they catch the water, and they would have to heat the water and things like that and do the dishes. And yeah. Definitely. And so I took this picture. Paul, you need to see this. You need to see this. Operation Shoebox was there last year, 2014. And so that just blessed my heart. They were so thrilled that they had been chosen to receive the blessings of Christians from other places. And that just touched my heart. So remember, we have a sign-up sheet for November, Thanksgiving. We're going to the collection center in Dallas. This is Hokie Shakabed, and she graduated while we were there. They were still in school, and she graduated first in her class. She's a very, very smart little girl. She is Tony's actual niece, niece's daughter, but they are raising her, and just very, very smart. I mean, just very smart and witty. She was so humorous, and she would catch on to, you know, things that we would say, and she was just delightful. And boy, she didn't want to dress up and go to that graduation that day, but it was all worth it when she got back and showed us her certificate. This is on the Sunday morning, the day before we left, and Hokie had presented Caitlin and I with these coin purses and things like that that had been made for us, and this is actually in their house. While I was there, I led out in some women's ministry, and you're going to see that. That was that on that first slide? Then I also gave my testimony and worked through an interpreter named Raul, who is from that area, Centalapa. And then I also had the opportunity to teach the youth and lead in a service there. And Jenny, her name is actually Jemima, but I call her Jenny. She works in Centalapa and comes to Integral on the weekends with her family back there to their home. And she was my interpreter the night that I spoke to the youth. And she and I just really connected from the very beginning. And so I just have her on my heart. She is single, and she's a godly woman. And I just pray that she will meet a godly man. And just there we are. Those are the roads. And we're on our way to a home, and I wanted to add that they have groups in their homes almost every night doing Bible study and worshiping. They do go to church, but I'm telling you, the fellowship that they experience is incredible. And they want to know a bit more about the Lord Jesus, those that are saved. So it is exciting. What I also want to add, and I'll approach this slide in just a minute, but on Sunday, the worship, and Joe's going to talk about this some, because we sang and shared, three of us sang, there was a freedom to say amen, to encourage the pastor, to say, thank you, Jesus. There was no inhibition. They just let the Holy Spirit lead them. And I hope that we do that when we come to God's house or in our homes or wherever, that we have true freedom to worship Him and we're not worried about the people next to us or what someone's going to think. Because you know what? It's just between us and the Lord anyway. And I think sometimes we get so rigid, as Keith said today from the pulpit, and so stiff. I don't think there's anything rigid about Jesus Christ. And when we all get to heaven and worship in all different languages and in all different ways, I think we're going to see freedom that we've never seen before.
Amen.
And I just say, let's have a little bit here on our homeland. Anyway, what happened was, at the end of the service, they did not do Sunday school that morning, but we had a wonderful, lengthy time of worship and word preached. And at the end, guys, they called out names loud enough for everyone to hear. Everybody's name. They were responding to how much of the Bible they had read that week. You talk about convicting. I'm not talking verses. I'm talking books, chapters of the Bible. We're talking 20s, 30s, 50s. I know that I heard 70s and more. They are digging into God's Word. And they are held accountable because they respond out loud for every member and church person there to hear. How many of us, including myself, might want to hang my head? I'm telling you, and Joseph is going to address this. There's accountability. There is serious accountability. And I just wanted to say that because I am telling you, the discipling that is going on puts America to shame. Puts America to shame. This is the church in Centalapa where Pastor Jorge preaches. Now, those of you that remember, we had Jorge and Walter, who is a brother of Arturo, who used to be at Forest Park area in Joplin. But they came to our church, and I believe that they were here, David, was it 2012? 11 or 12. And he preached in the pulpit that Sunday night, and we use a translator. That was the trip that Pastor Javier, for whatever reason, he was not allowed to come. His visa didn't get approved. And it broke Pastor Jorge's heart and Walter's as well. So someday we're praying that God will make a way for Pastor Javier and Tony and Jacobed to come. But anyway, they're kind of like the sending church. Pastor Jorge is the mentoring pastor to Pastor Javier. All right? And that is Pastor Javier again in the blue and in the striped shirt. That is Pastor Jorge. Some of you may remember him now that you saw the picture. And they were standing in front of a large cathedral in a town called San Cristobal. This is a bulletin board that is at the back of Pastor Jorge's church, that blue church. And I mean doors out of solid wood that probably were 9, 10 feet tall, at least, probably 10 feet tall. And when those doors open, this is the first thing you see. This is a bulletin board. And the words that are in Spanish there say, "You will be able to sustain the tired arms of the missionaries with your prayers." These are where they are involved in mission work. And that's pretty amazing. That's awesome. So you can see that they truly believe in sending and discipling and spreading the word about Jesus Christ. Now, the house that Pastor Javier and Tony live in during the week is just down the street from the church that I showed you at first when we first arrived. This is actually his home. Where they stay during the week would be a little parsonage. It's has a little living area, one bedroom that they share with Hoki, tiny little room that I was in, a tiny little kitchen area, and a bathroom. That area that we're standing in front of, he has added on to his home since David and Stephen were there. And I guess since Stephen and Ken were there in 2011. So that's kind of like a new little addition. And you're not able to see. We weren't able to zoom it in like I hoped. It just didn't work. But standing there by Caitlin in the yellow shirt and right behind her, that woman is Pastor Javier's mother, and right behind her is Pastor Javier's sister. And I was a little forgetful this afternoon, and so I'm talking too long, sorry. We'll have some things on the back table that you can look at when you go out because they weren't there. But they gave me earrings out of their own jewelry box. They gave me a necklace, probably maybe the only necklace that Tony's niece had. They gave with all they had. And I just thank you for just the prayers and the encouragement. And it's been a very, very huge blessing. And I plan to go back.
Jose is going to come. Some of you remember Joseph was on this platform not too long ago. He is one of the members of the group Changed. And I did not know Joe until the trip. And Steve Minow, no, Wendy Vaverka shared it with you about the trip.
Yeah. I just want to start off by saying that it was totally a God thing that I was able to go at all, because I am not, my church is not in Laclede, it's in Pulaski. And so through that connection, through Mrs. Vaverka, I was able to go, which was a blessing. People kept saying, "Oh, I bet your life is going to be changed. It's going to be changed." And, you know, that's kind of a cliche you hear a lot. But it really was, and I was blessed to be able to go. They call me Jose. My name is Joseph, so that's what they call me. This first picture, ooh, am I loud? I'm sorry. I talk really loud. I'm not as soft-spoken as Gina. But this picture was on one of the nights when we met at a home, and I taught that night. And this is by the little lake by the village where they would, I think they caught like one of our dinners there, one of our fish. And so what I talked about that night, which I lead the praise and worship at my church, I taught on praise and worship. And so this is my favorite picture from the whole trip. I just love it. It's nice and shows everybody. But this is me on this Sunday, the last Sunday, and they brought out an electric keyboard for me to play. And so I played and sang, and I started off. They didn't have a stand for me to put my music. So I was like, well, I'll just do something by ear. And I got up there, and I couldn't find my key for Amazing Grace, and I ended up squealing like a pelican, and I said, stop. And it was a wreck, but I did better. The gentleman, they wanted me to tell you about this. The gentleman who is playing the drums. The what? Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, yes. Oh, yes, the one in the green sitting. His name was Abner. And this was actually, this photo was taken after the entire service, and we kind of had like a jam session that afternoon. And so he was excellent at playing the drums, and I was singing. We were having such a good time. And then afterward, he got up and he said, let's play something tonight. Well, that's what I got out of it. I don't know. Ken wasn't there. He was off somewhere. So I was trying to understand what he was saying. And I said, yeah, let's do it tonight. Well, I was approached by Stephen and I think and Javier, the pastor. And they said, you'll not be able to have him play with you tonight at Sunday night service. And I said, why? And it's because he is on church discipline. He has done, yeah, I know. I was like, what? What? But he has done something. I didn't inquire of him what he did, but he had done something that he wasn't able to participate in church. He was just allowed to attend. But I was blessed by it, and I actually talked to him quite a bit over Facebook, and I'm going to take him some American gospel music tonight if we ever go back, which I hope, I pray. So, next. This is me giving my testimony, and this gives you a much better view of inside the church. Yeah, my testimony. I got in trouble from Stephen because I said, oh, my testimony's no good. I don't want to give my testimony. Well, he about slapped me. He said, no, all testimonies are good. So I gave mine, and I hope it was a blessing. I really like this picture. This shows Fabio was the boy playing the drums, and the younger one, I didn't catch his name. But let me tell you, this little guy was as serious as a heart attack when he was playing his little percussion instrument. And it was good. He was excellent. I don't really know what else to say. This is Javier. This is a good view of inside their house. Like she said, we sat on lawn chairs, very simple. Talk about a humble guy. Super, super humble. I like that picture because he's in his flip-flops. You might want to talk about this. These were the trash or dump people. They live in the dump. That's where they eat and find their food and everything. And the church has a ministry from Integral, and they go and feed them breakfast once a month and minister to them. And
well, Pastor Javier also, when he does that, he teaches a Bible lesson. And so, I mean, you know, they tell us you're going to go to the dump, you know, and everything like that. But they literally, they get their food and things that they have from the dump. Well, it ended up logistically in some confusion. We thought that we were going to be with Pastor Javier while he was teaching them. And actually, the Lord worked it out better, because we probably would have been a distraction to Pastor Javier when he was trying to teach them. Because when we showed up afterwards, they just kept on looking at us. They wanted pictures with us and everything like that. And so it probably worked out better. And God knows what to do. And so we just showed up afterwards, and so it was good.
They did not get to go minister with, I don't know what proper word, the people of the dump area. I hate to say dump people, the people of the dump area, because I got sick, and so got a little dehydrated, and I use this as my transitional picture, folks. I hate to eat fish. So I've been sick, dehydrated, felt like I had bugs crawling over me, had the team laughing at me, was totally out of it and loopy. And it was like, okay, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm hungry. All I've had is Ritz crackers and Gatorade. I'm going to go to church and eat supper. We literally walk in, and I have my little side bag, and I set it down, and I sit down at my chair, and they put a fish in front of me. And Ken, just Santiago, just looks at me, and I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I did it. I nibbled on it. So anyway, that was kind of my transitional picture there. For me, the trip was very, very, very emotional and very special. As I mentioned, I had a chance many years ago in 2009 to meet Pastor Javier and to watch his growth. He was in a different community at that time. Churches are the same around the world, and he ran into a difficult faction and was removed from the church that he had been at. So he's now in the community that we went to. And Javier and I are like brothers. I just can't wait till heaven, because we're just going to have a conversation without Ken. Amen. And well, yeah, Ken will be there, but we won't need him. So, right, Sherry? So, you can take that as you want. But I just love this brother. And we just literally, when we said goodbye, I felt his tears on my cheek. I just love this man, and he is growing, and he seems so much happier, so much more confident in his ministry and all of that. What I had purposely gone to do was, we were doing what's called a vision trip. For me, as your director of missions, it was a logistical trip. I knew the people. I knew the leadership. But I needed to go see the place. And so we went. And I'm one of those, I know I'm boring, but I love church talk. I love to talk to pastors. Stop laughing, Roxy. I love the pastor's heart. And so we'd be walking from place to place, and I'd have Ken with me, and I'd just start asking him pastor questions and learning that way. And so this right here on kind of the first day was just kind of a planning time of, how would we do a medical clinic here? Could we do a medical clinic here? How would we do VBS? What's the needs in your community? What are the challenges your church is facing? And things like that. And it was just so awesome there, even in his body language, just to see the confidence that he was feeling. This is an angle here. This is kind of their fellowship hall. And this is where we had all of our dinners. If we did a medical clinic, or if we did vacation Bible school, we would be able to set up in this area. Very typical of that culture, too. Rosendo Salazar had a very similar layout and positioning there. Did have a chance to preach. And Raul was my interpreter. He had been an he was one we would pull in every once in a while. You'll notice this is a good picture. There's one later that Jenny and Santiago were in. This was a lady's home that was in the process of being built. It was in the backyard of her family's home. That is a live tree that they're using as the foundational pillar of that home that they're working on. And this was a cell group. So this particular evening, we were split. Our two teams were split. And Jose and Catalina and... were you with me on this one? And I were... Okay, and you were with them. So Santiago was with the Jovenes. He was with the kids. The old people got sent to the other group. So, right? So anyway, Jovenes goes up to about 30, and there's a cutoff eventually. So I was teaching that evening. Just a powerful, powerful time to be able to share and teach. What's interesting is, when I finish teaching, that they always have kind of an MC, a host, and the hostess who was of the home, she had questions ready, but it was questions from the previous week's cell group. So they like were getting quizzed. Pastor may do this on his sermons. They were having to divide up into small groups and answer questions based upon the last week's lesson. I mean, you heard Jenny, I'm never going to call you Gina. You heard Jenny talk about how they were being called out verbally, giving accountability of how many chapters of the Bible they had read that week. So they were answering questions about the previous week's lesson. They love to sing. They have a women's night. They have a men's night. And so, Joe, you didn't get to go to the men's night. You got sent to the Jovenes, didn't you? You got sent with the kids. Okay, so Ken and I were at the men's night. And men, oh men, they love to sing. They love to sing. So it was so, so special. This was our driver. He's been our driver ever since I've known him. His name is, we call him Rabbit. His name is Arturo, and we call him Rabbit. And he treats the ladies like queens, and he just is so such a sweet, sweet blessing to us. This is their camp. And just took a picture of this just to kind of give you an idea of what their camp facility area looks like, and the range and the look. I got to return to the place that I had ministered to, and this little dear little grandmother Martita, I'd known her from years past. Her husband that I knew had since passed away, and literally when I hug her, I get down on my hands and knees, and we are at eye level. And she, man, she's a preacher too, but she is just a dear, dear, dear sweet lady. This is my niece, Hoki. I am her tio. I am her tio. I am Uncle Steve. And we just love each other to death. And this was our goodbye. She would not let go of me when it was time to leave. So this little guy here I'm going to use to transition. Santiago and I had been at a men's event, and I'm going to let him tell the sweet story of that. But this little guy and I became buddies through the camera flash. He loved that the camera, he wanted me to make the camera red. Well, so then I started, you know, befriending him and all of that. And he became my little sidekick. I don't think he cared about me. He just liked the camera flash. And he loved to see himself in the camera. Well, I'm going to put up this next picture to tell the rest of my story and close out my part. Of course, this is a great depiction of the simplicity of life in Chiapas. And this little Red Bull here that I'm holding is probably one of the most valuable gifts I've ever received. Now, it's kind of an ugly-looking critter. It is a piggy bank. Very depictive of a little toy that a child might have. The people give so sincerely out of their hearts. On the last night, and there's a picture later on that Ken's will be in Ken's thing. On the last evening, the little guy in the picture that you just saw, who had become my buddy, with his father, came through line and handed me his piggy bank. Because it's what he had to give to his new friend. I also went home with a lady's, her first daughter's wedding cake topper. But it shows you that when I was picking up on things, I could comprehend what was being said. That pastor would tell them, now on Sunday night we're going to have some gift time, and you find some little object or make it or a handmade item or a gift and bring it to our guests. I knew that's what was happening. I also got a homemade camera case out of the deal. Well, after they come and ask you for your camera about five times, you figure out what they're doing. But this gift, this little bull, is little guy's piggy bank. And this just reminds me of a gift that was given. Amen. And so that's so special to me. Santiago is going to come. Sorry, Pastor. And can you go back? This is a very important picture. Can you please go back? Very important picture. When we could get Kenneth James to do something. His actual name is Ken. I'll let him explain to Santiago. When we could get Ken to do something, we had to wake him up. But Ken is our multicultural specialist, catalyst, whatever, for the nations of the Missouri Baptist Convention. He works with approximately 30 different people groups and church plants, multicultural church plants in Missouri. So anything that is Russian, South Pacific, our Filipino group, EDNOR, reports to Ken. Any of the multicultural work in Missouri is Ken's responsibility. Met him several years ago, and love you, brother. I'm glad you made the trip from Jeff City tonight.
This is really unusual, me in a hammock. I don't know how that happened. I have my own hammock at home. I got very, not just used to, but I love relaxing in a hammock. I've got my own at home, and I got an opportunity to test drive three different hammocks while we were in Chiapas. But I've got to tell you a story about, just real quick, about one of my adventures in the hammock. The pastor, Javier, is a great guy. Everything they've told you about him is true. The only thing he doesn't do real well is tying a hammock up to two trees. I was laying there just relaxing and enjoying one day, and as I tell the story in Spanish, I was laying in the hammock relaxing, and all of a sudden, boom, the hammock fell to the ground. And Jochebed, Hoki, the little girl, came running out. She was so worried. Santiago, Santiago, are you okay? And I'm laughing. And I'm telling, yeah, I'm okay. And she told everybody there, you know, oh, he fell. He's probably hurt. Well, I made the mistake of telling the story and laughing, because I'm not sure how many times that week, but all during the week, Hoki told the story about when Santiago was in the hammock and he was just laying there relaxing, and all of a sudden, boom! And then she would laugh and laugh. I think it must have got up to triple digits or something, the number of times she told that story. So everybody in Chiapas knows about that happening. But we did have a wonderful time. When I go on a mission trip, I'm serious about it, but I like to enjoy it too, because God's called us to a life that's a life of joy. This is one of the times when we were in, this was the cell group time, wasn't it? Yeah, okay, I'm trying to remember which one we're at. The cell group, and we would meet with them. And as I think Gina said earlier, they meet almost every night of the week with something, cell group, youth group, men's group, women's group, something. And so we had a chance to share, and Gina was sharing her testimony, I think, or I believe that night. I'm trying to remember what all was going on every time, and I'm translating here, but we had some opportunities to share and also to hear from the people there. This was one of my favorite meetings that I got to go to there. It's not a real good picture. Got a little fuzzy, but I'm glad it's up there because I like the story of it. We were, as you can see, there's something going on here. The night before, we'd been in a cell group time, and there was kind of some extra time left over, and I don't know why I thought of this song. It was with a group of adults. You may know this song if you're a kid, or if you're someone who's worked with kids, or if you just happen to be paying attention. You may not know in Spanish. I didn't know it in English. I thought it was only a Spanish song for a long time. And it goes like this. Cuán grande es Dios, tan fuerte y poderoso, no hay cosa que no pueda hacer. Does anybody know that? How big is our God? How strong and how mighty? Well, there was some time left over, and I thought, why don't we do that song? I don't even know why that song popped into my mind, but everybody did it. The men's meeting the next night, at the very beginning, they said, can we do that song again? And every one of these men did all of the motions and all the song, and everybody, you could just see the smile on their face thinking about how big and how strong and how mighty our God is. The little boy that gave him the bull, he was at the men's meeting. He had his little tiny chair there that he was sitting on, this little guy, and I looked over at him, and there's a guy playing the guitar, and everybody's singing, and he is just rocking with the music. He was enjoying so much. Yes, and then it came time for the Bible study, and he wasn't happy until his grandpa was there, looked up the scripture for him and showed it to him in his little Bible. I don't even think he's probably old enough to read yet, but he enjoyed that a lot, and I'm going to tell you a story about him and about something else here in a little bit, too. Okay, and this was the other thing that we did while we were there. And this one, again, this one we actually kind of planned, but we actually planned it for the children and possibly for the youth. It was a game that we played there. Now, you three don't answer this, and you three don't answer this. We played a game called Pato Pato Ganso. Does anybody know what that is? Okay, you know. What's Pato Pato Ganso? Duck Duck Goose. And we thought we were going to do that with the children and the youth, which we did, but the adults were watching and said, can we play that game too? So we played Duck, Duck, Goose. And again, yeah. Oh yeah, you got it on video. Good. That's not me laughing.
Okay, let's do it again.
Oh, a branch?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think we're doing an explanation or something here of the game of Gabe. Oh, she didn't get very far. This is Caitlin, by the way. Who's also part of our team.
Do you
want to
do it?
Yeah,
Ganso.
I guess as I watch this, I'm just trying to picture us at, let's say, a WMU event or something, or a senior adult at Senior Saints playing Duck Duck Goose. You know, it's.
By the way, if you ever go on a mission trip with me, we will be serious, but we will have fun. Or else, you know, we're going to have fun. The Christian life is joyful. God called us to a life of joy. This is our last, not our last day, but the last day actually in Integral. And we're meeting with Pastor Javier and Tony and Jocaved at their house. And they've made a really nice breakfast for us that morning right before the worship service. This is the night when at the end we had a very special service. And then at the end, it is their custom to come and to bring some small gift. And there were a number of gifts. Steve already told you about this one. I'm going to tell you about another one. There was a man came up to me, and they just showered us with all kinds of gifts. I mean, we had tons. I didn't know how I was going to get it all in my suitcase going home. But one man came up and gave me this. And it may not look like a whole lot, but just like the gift that Steve told about, it meant a whole lot to me. He gave it to me and he said, Santiago, he said, I learned how to make this while I was in prison. He's a man who'd been in prison, but his life had been transformed. Now we've got the little guy that I think he's starting off really right, and he's going to have a life transformed from the very beginning. I really believe that. He's already hearing the word of God and singing his praises and everything. He may not understand it all yet, but someday he will, because he's getting that. But also there's people like this man who learned it. I don't know if he learned while he was in prison, or if it was it while he was in prison? Yeah, but I mean, did he come to know the Lord there or not? I wasn't really sure. And now he's a deacon in the church. So whether it was while he was in prison someone ministered to him, or whether it was afterwards, his life has been transformed after a life probably of who knows what. God is in the business of transforming lives. That's what missions is about. Whether it's here in Missouri, whether it's in East St. Louis, whether it's in Chiapas, or wherever it might be. This picture is he's tío for Jocaved, for Hoki, but I'm the abuelo. If anybody knows me, they know that I love my grandkids. And it was a little bit hard for me to be away from my grandkids for those days, so I just kind of adopted Hoki. And despite the fact that she laughed at me falling in the hammock, we had a great time. I actually met her the first time we were there. And she was only, I think, about two maybe then. And she had, I think, just been adopted by Javier and by Tony. Sweet, sweet, very smart little girl. And one of the very, very close ones to us. Pray for Chiapas. The Bible tells us that that we're all working together. When you think of a mission trip like to Chiapas or to East St. Louis or wherever it might be, across the street or across the world, think about this. God's Word says, for we are God's co-workers, you are God's field, God's building. If you go on a mission trip, you're not going to do for them, you're going to do with them. And in fact, not only that, but they know more about it than you do. Okay? We go for 1 week a year. They're there 52 weeks a year, every year. So when we go to partner with them. We are co-workers with them. But God in His wisdom knows this. He came to be partners with our brothers there when they came to know Jesus. And He came to be partners with us, or when we came to know Christ as our Savior, which means when we come together, we're partners, we're co-workers together for this mission. It's real important to remember those things. I've seen some people on some trips that go, and that was not true of this group, by the way, but I've seen some go, and it's almost like they're trying to tell them how they're supposed to do things. That's not the idea. That's not the idea at all. The idea is to go and to be assistance to them in the work that we all do together for the Lord. I don't know what this association will do in the future with Chiapas, what this church will do in the future with Chiapas. But I do know this, that God had called this group and that God is at work there. We heard testimonies, and there's not time to tell all of them, of people's lives. I lost it here. Of this guy and many others. It wasn't just him. This is just one story of people's lives who already have been transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. We're all in this mission journey. You may or may not get the opportunity to go to Chiapas, but if you name the name of Christ, and if you're being obedient to him, now if you're not, you're not on the mission journey, even if you are a Christian. But if you're being obedient to him, and I hope you are on a mission journey to pray, to give, and to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I was blessed to get to go there for the second time to Chiapas. I don't know if God will have me going there again. I don't know. But it was a blessing to me. And I hope that the things that we did bless them and help them in their mission endeavor there in Intikara.
Thank you, Pastor David, for this time.
All right, well, that was an awesome report, and makes you want to go to Chiapas, doesn't it? I want to kind of close out our service tonight just by making a few remarks about East St. Louis, and I'll be very brief with that. But several of our folks from this church, as well as other local churches from our association and Pulaski County, there's that Pulaski County connection coming through again. We're able to travel to Light of Christ Church in East St. Louis this last week. And those of you that know about that place, you've heard Pastor Barnicio speak, you know that going to East St. Louis is a unique experience. What I will always take with me from my times of traveling to East St. Louis are the people. Missions is always about the people. You saw this team from Chiapas light up when they would talk about those special people that they met there. And I can assure you, when you go to East St. Louis, your life will be changed because of the people you meet. And people there like Vira and Mickey, who work for Pastor Barnicio, ladies who are filled with the Spirit of God, didn't really feel very well. One day Mickey didn't, but she came all week long and helped out with the children and was kind of Pastor Barnicio's right-hand person. And Vira, another story. You know, Vira one day was acting kind of sluggish, and so we got to talking to her, found out she'd been up all night long the night before because there had been a confrontation in front of her house and some shots were fired, and one of the bullets lodged in a shutter of her house right where she slept. And she said, "I didn't sleep very well after that for the rest of the night." But just a woman who loved Christ, loved the Lord, and really wanted to share his light in this difficult neighborhood. I think about guys like Tommy. And some of you have heard us talk about Tommy before. Tommy's a homeless man. He lives in the homeless shelter there in Light of Christ Church in East St. Louis. Tommy has prostate cancer. He's been in and out of the hospital now for probably about 6 or 8 months. And Tommy's not the easiest guy to talk to. He's kind of terse. Sometimes he's a little short with people and grumpy. And they're very particular about things. Well, one day this week, I was outside on the playground area with the children during the afternoon session, and Tommy comes over to the fence and motions for me to come over. And I figured he probably wanted something. You know, he was just kind of that way. Get over there, and he does want something. What he wants is for me to pray with him, to pray for him, because he's having pain in his side, and actually the ambulance was coming to get him and take him back to the hospital. And even though that doesn't sound like much, that's a great breakthrough to be able to pray with Tommy and assure him and just, again, try to witness to him through being a friend. Of course, I think about the children, and those children are precious, and they're unruly, they're unchurched, they're hungry when they come to Light of Christ, when they come to Vacation Bible School. They will eat as many hot dogs as you will give them. They don't always know how to behave properly, and sometimes they'll do things that aggravate you. Now, they didn't take my phone this time, but they did try to slip off with a football or two, didn't they, Chuck? But you know what? God loves those children. God wants those children to hear about Jesus. And even when you think they're not listening, and you think, like, and Natalie will attest to this, it gets kind of wild in our Bible study time, and they've got about a 5-second attention span. After that's over, somebody will come up to you like a child that approached me, and they'll say, "Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did Jesus have to do that?" And you can have a discussion. And you're like, man, maybe, this is worth it. And, you know, I just think about the workers that worked and the camaraderie. And every time a team comes, it's a different team, but every time God brings that team together, and I think about the guys and how well they worked together, how much fun they had. Keith wasn't joking. They would literally sing every day together. They'd sing on the bus. They would sing as they worked, tearing out walls, and just did a wonderful ministry while they were there. And so I think about some of the guys that we got to travel together with, the bonding that took place. I think about the place where we stayed, Bethel Baptist Church. The last 2 years we've stayed at this sister church in Troy, Illinois. And I think about the accommodations. We stay in their Family Life Center. We sleep in on air mattresses or on the floor. I think about this church is so mission-minded that they have purchased a trailer, a shower unit trailer, like what Disaster Relief uses, so that teams that come in and minister to surrounding churches and partnering churches can have shower facilities. And by the way, if you get a hot shower there, you're lucky, because somebody's always messing with that gas tank, aren't they, Chuck? But we had a great time. And what I want to do, it's really almost time for us to close, but I've got a couple videos I want to share. The first video is just a montage, a slide of pictures from the team that came on Sunday and worked Sunday through Thursday. And then I have a slide. I want to show the youth slide, because we've got some youth here tonight. And I'm so proud of our youth who stepped up and came Thursday night. Even if they did go to Troy, Missouri instead of Troy, Illinois, they found it eventually. That's okay. And I know that our youth, I haven't got to talk to Josh a lot about it, but I know that our youth were touched by what they saw and what they did. And so East St. Louis is a place that will always be with me. I'll always look at it differently because of the time that I got to spend at Light of Christ. So you look at these two slide presentations that will just give you a taste of what took place this week, and then we'll have our closing song, which is very appropriate for what we've talked about tonight. So you take a look at these. As we dismiss tonight in prayer, remember the Chiapas team has a table out in the foyer, and you can take your time there and look through some of the things that they brought back. Feel free to talk to any of the team members, and you can talk to us as well about East St. Louis if you'd like to find out more about what took place last week. Let's bow now together, and I wanted that song to be in our hearts as we leave here tonight. Lord, we are indeed acutely aware now and every day of how much people need the Lord. It's our own testimony. Lord, I need Thee every hour. Every hour I need Thee. So, Lord, help us to be about Your business. Help us to be aware of needs around us. Help us to always be sensitive and ready and willing to share the gospel to those who want to hear it, those who are hungry for it. God, I thank You for relationships that have been built in these trips, both with people who live a long ways away from us and people who are our next-door neighbors and people who are fellow church members. God, may we continue to bear the standard and be salt and light for You in our lost and dying world. God, I pray that we would also have a joy about us, just as Ken has said very well, Lord, that people would see something distinctive about Christians and they'd be drawn to Jesus Christ through our testimony. Thank You again, Lord, for the safe travel and for the safety of the teams. And God, I just pray that as we leave here tonight, God, that our hearts would be renewed to look for ways that we can be on mission. Not to look for ways, but to realize that every day of our lives we are on mission for You. And I thank You and I praise You and I pray all these things in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You're dismissed.